Hey everybody, welcome to the Church of God Network podcast, the intro episode. My name is Daniel Russo. I am president and board chairman of Church of God Network. I'm here with my brother Stephen Russo, our chief editor.
Howdy everybody.
And today we're just going to give you some basic information about Church of God Network, what we are, what we are not, what our goals are, what we want to do for the coming year, what activities we've been doing so far since our inception in August of 2019, just to give everyone a sense of what Church of God Network is and have an accurate representation of that. We recognize many listeners might not know what we're about. Many people who might be aware of us might not know the finer details. So we're going to try to take this episode to introduce you to us and to introduce you to what we want to accomplish, not only through the organization, but through this podcast specifically. So with that, Church of God Network, our mission is to help build community within the Church of God by facilitating connection, encouraging conversations, and giving back. Our overarching vision for the Church of God is a cohesive and dynamic Church of God community with frequent fellowship, open communication, and active cooperation between members and staff of the various Church of God organizations. We believe that this is a mission worth pursuing. It's one that has not been pursued a whole lot since the major changes that took place in the worldwide Church of God in the early to mid-90s. We recognize that there are people outside of the worldwide Church of God apparatus that very well could be part of the Church of God community as well, and we want to reach out to them and become a more cohesive and dynamic community on the whole.
So on that front, it is important to define the Christian community that we do in fact serve. It is not just the Church of God organizations that came out of the worldwide Church of God splits in the early to mid-90s. There are others. In an effort to define who we serve, we have some doctrinal parameters on our About Us page on our website. This is not meant to explicitly determine who we think is in the spiritual body of Christ or anything like that. We recognize that's not our role. We have no authority to do that. Only God can. But we are trying to basically outline the group of people we serve. By and large, Seventh-day Sabbath, keeping churches, people who keep the holy days. There are about 10 doctrines that we believe are the unique identifiers of the Church of God community and serve as the foundation for who we reach out to, who we try to connect with, and so on.
To our knowledge, we are the only organization working on this mission solely. There are a lot of really good people working to build community and make connections, and there are a lot of really good ministers who are open to it and are very welcoming. So we are by no means the only people pursuing it, but we definitely felt like this mission required the full force and weight of an organization to help move the needle on this particular issue. So with that, we'll tell you a bit about what we are and what we are not in a more specific sense. So we focus solely on building community. We are not a church organization. We do not want to take on the task of preaching the people or preaching the gospel or doing anything that's duplicative to what the churches of God or the Church of God organizations are already doing. We feel like that's not only their responsibility, but they have plenty of resources and people dedicated to those things. Our goal is to help organizations as they do that. We want to be a resource. We want to help connect Church of God organizations with other people so that they can share best practices, so iron can sharpen iron, and they can get more information. We want to be an aid to the organizations, not an impediment. We don't want to compete with them. We don't want to make their jobs harder. And for the membership, we just want to encourage connection. We want to help people meet other people in the Church of God, find out where their brethren are, encourage people to have conversations with one another and learn from different perspectives. And in all of this, find creative ways to give back within the Church of God community, or even give back in our local communities. You know, maybe encourage the Church of God to be a bit more giving and philanthropic and to be more of a positive presence in our communities as a way to preach the gospel by example. Another way to think about what we do is that we're an advocacy organization and we advocate for things that build community and unity within the Church of God. We want to always be a voice for that. And we think it's important that someone is always making that a topic of conversation. Again, like I said, we're not a church. We don't have any members. Quite often I get people reaching out saying, hey, I'd like to join, but I have to keep telling them there's nothing to join. We're not a membership organization. We don't have members on the organization level, right? Like churches don't join us and members don't join us. First and foremost, because we didn't want to go the membership organization route. We didn't think it was the most effective organizational type to use. And that's also competitive. We didn't want to take members away from churches. We aren't offering the same sorts of resources. We're not working towards the same things necessarily. And also, very importantly, we do not encourage people to tithe to us. We do accept donations. We encourage people to give. You know, we're a very well-off people, especially in the United States and in the West in general. We've been blessed quite a bit, and we do encourage people to give, not only to us, but to anyone doing good work in the Church of God sphere, even if they're not a church, above and beyond tithes. So we ask that people give freely above and beyond what they give to their church organizations and tithe. We feel like if you're going to give your first tithe to someone, it should be to the place you attend. That being said, if an organization wants to give us a donation, and we do have several church organizations that donate to us, we are fine with that. The theory being that, or the operating principle being that, the funds have already gone to the organization, the organizational leadership has determined that it's beneficial for them and their members to give the Church of God Network, because we're providing some resources or some services that they aren't, or maybe they can't, and they support our mission. That's perfectly fine. We don't see that as competitive. And lastly, the thing we want to encourage people to do is, you could probably tell from what we've been saying, that this is part of the sort of the undercurrent here, is that we want people to stay in their organizations. For the longest time, there's been a prevailing wisdom in the Church of God that, you know, the only way we can have unity again is to be under the same organizational roof, to all join the same group. And I think people are sort of waiting for one particular group to dominate or make an impact above and beyond the rest. And somehow that will galvanize the Church of God and we'll all come back in one church organization. And maybe that will happen, but we believe there's an alternative approach, that no one person or no group of people can force actual physical unity in one church organization. But just because that ship has sailed doesn't mean there aren't alternatives. There are other things we can do. We can build community without doing it in a threatening way, without having to get people to leave their current organizations and go to another one. We can build community and a sense of unity and belonging while staying where we are and not causing any further division. So those are sort of the underlying principles, things that we are, things that we are not. I'll just provide a brief rundown of the different activities we've been doing since our inception in August of 2019 and some that we plan to do in the coming year. I encourage you all to check out our website, churchofgodnetwork.org, to learn more about these different things and to keep abreast of what's going to be coming in the future. But I won't dedicate too much time to it. We have a really good platform for information aggregation. We have a congregation map that lists all the publicly available congregations within the Church of God, over 1,600 congregations from over 100 different church organizations. We have a Church of God Resource Center, Church of God Marketplace. We have a forum section, a really good blog section with some great contributors and content there. We also have a grant program, a business and education grant program, which I really encourage you to check out, as well as Within Your Gates, which is a new grant program as well, sort of half grant program, half volunteer program for people. And we also plan to have a number of different programs coming this year, largely once COVID starts to ebb a bit, where we want to facilitate connection on the ground in terms of fellowship events. We want to help fund more fellowship events and opportunities for people to connect one-on-one in real ways. So with that, I want to bring Steve into this conversation here to talk about sort of the goals for the podcast, the reason why we think podcasts are so important and a good way to build community. I mean, other than the fact that I think people love podcasts and we don't have a ton of them in the Church of God, the big reason is that we want to expose people to different perspectives. We want to get people from different Church of God organizations, different walks of life, different professional backgrounds to come on and talk about things they care about, things they're passionate about, things that they have a particular skill set in, for the simple goal of getting different perspectives and learning from one another. I know it's something that Steve and I talk about a lot, are really passionate about, both like on a personal as well as spiritual and professional level. And we actually had this conversation fairly recently, Steve.
Yeah, it's because the thing, and I think there's something that people in the church tend to not think about as much, that the Church of God, the body of Christ, is a team, right? And the idea that, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 and many other different places, each part of the body has a different function, but they all work together to achieve the right goal. So we are not all the same people. We don't all have the same skills. We don't all have the same perspectives. We don't all have the same information. We don't all have the same understanding about different things. And that's why, so for something like this, we want to bring in different perspectives, because what that does is that it gives us a better, fuller understanding of ourselves, of each other as a body.
And there's more information on the table.
And there's more information on the table. And what that does is that it helps us get to the point where we try, as many churches have used this kind of phrase, like to get to that one mind. Of course, that one mind is not something that somebody arbitrarily dictates. Okay, this is the mind that we're all going to agree to. The mind has already been set for us. That's the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we have to get to there, because no one person in this life has perfect knowledge. And by having this diversity of perspectives, having diversity of thought, we can better work together to come to a better understanding of a lot of different things.
And that's the phrase, right? Working together. The body needs to work together. And it's impossible to do that if we don't talk to each other and we don't listen to each other.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, and there's so much of this, especially the last couple of years for me, but you know, you read over a scripture that you've read 110 different times, and then all of a sudden it hits you, or someone brings out something about that scripture that you never thought of before. And recently I was listening to a message by Derek Strauss in UCG, who actually, we featured the message as our Sermon of the Month. He talks about the revelation that the bride has made herself ready, that it's not someone else doing it for the bride. It's not, circumstances pushing the bride in a direction where, you know, we're all in the place of safety and we have to learn to get along there. No, like the bride has made herself ready. We have done the work to make ourselves ready. And I think so much of that is, again, talking to each other, learning from each other, listening to each other. There is a ton of expertise in the Church of God. There are a lot of smart people. There are a lot of people who have really interesting and cool perspectives. I mean, not only intellectually, but just in terms of emotionally, people whose humility is awe-inspiring, and people have gone through a lot in their lives. And getting to know those people, whether it's actually talking with them or whether it's listening on a podcast and getting to know them in that way, that's an essential first step in feeling like we're part of the same body rather than everyone focusing on their subset of the body.
And it's interesting too, because I think that leads to an interesting point about very much what we want to do here is have people think for themselves. We want people to think responsibly.
Yeah, that was the operating catchphrase for the podcast, think responsibly.
Yeah.
Instead of, what's the company that actually has that? It's not like Budweiser.
Think responsibly. I think this is a thing that all like alcoholic companies do. I mean, you see it on like Crown Royal commercials.
Alcoholic companies.
Yeah. But it's leading to this idea that like there is work to be done in each and every one of us. I was recently listening to, and of course I think this sermon is almost 10 years old now, but one, I think it was the first or second of Gary Petty's series on the ministry of reconciliation, and that the divisions between man are because of man's division with God, like his conflict with God.
Yeah.
And so what we also want to try to do here is like bring people together to show that what when our conversion comes first, we don't have, it's like the conflicts with others tend, I'll say tend, mm-hmm. to become secondary. Like that, the task the task of understanding who we are and understanding our problems and becoming closer with God makes the task of building community much easier.
Yeah, and to bring in some other perspectives right now, I mean, there was a great message we featured last month on the issue of unity from Arnold Hampton of Cogwa. He talks about it being, the hardest thing human beings strive for, but how important mm-hmm. it is. And along the lines of getting to know oneself, there's a great message from Rick Stafford of LCG on addiction and he has quite a bit of experience dealing with people going through addiction, and it's incredibly valuable. But if we focus on getting ourselves right before God and seeing ourselves accurately, I mean, that just, I think it puts everything into perspective. But one of those things you then need to do is you need to then work that muscle. You need to be exposed to other people. You need to have conversations and then learn. I think part of the process of getting to know yourself necessitates the involvement of other people. You need to get involved with people who are going to be honest with you, who are going to give their own thoughts and opinions on topics honestly, so that you have that other information, whether it's someone telling you, and we're getting sort of off listening to people talk about topics, and this is more interacting with each other on a personal level, but whether it's someone saying, hey, you know, I have this issue with you, or if it's listening to someone who has a new perspective on a topic, or someone, you know, we plan on bringing people in to talk about mental health issues or emotional intelligence, giving people, I don't say the benefit of the doubt, but listening with this ear to, oh, that's interesting, I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
That's how we get better.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we might have that on this podcast series, where we might bring on somebody who has a perspective, and maybe one of us here, or you, or like somebody has a different, or maybe disagrees with exactly that person with the guest said, but that is something to then not dismiss right away, unless it's easily identified in scripture that it's wrong, and we're hoping not to have too many of those.
But even that, like, yeah, I feel like there are things all of us have probably believed or said that upon reflection were easily identifiable in scripture to be wrong. But I'm really hoping to bring people on who myself or others on the podcast disagree with, and just sort of hash it out in love.
Yeah, because that's kind of what we're trying to get at. That's the whole growing process. Mm-hmm. I think, especially as Westerners, we tend to want growth to come without pain. But I think that's the core of it. I mean, even just like using the physical example of when you're young and you're growing, I mean, especially with guys or girls who have major growth spurts, it does not come without pain. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, your bones are stretching, you're working muscles, and it's going to hurt.
And there's, I just think, in general, this bringing people from different backgrounds onto a podcast like this, I think it just opens up the world to people. It certainly did with me when I left the sort of comforts of the independent church community I grew up in. I don't mean left like I left the group. I'm still very much in the group. Mm-hmm. But I stopped thinking about the whole Church of God world from the context of my little piece of it was all that I was focusing on, and realized that there's a massive Church of God community out there. It completely opened up my perspectives, and it completely opened up the kind of people that came into my life. Like, there are, imagine where you are now listening to this, and the people in your congregation, and the people in your church organization who you know and love. And then imagine, like, if I told you, you know what, I'll listen to this podcast, learn, you know, you get these different perspectives, and maybe go out and visit on occasion. Visit some new Church of God organizations, learn what's going on. Imagine if I told you that after doing that for even just a year or two, you double the amount of people who are close friends within the Church of God. Like, that'd be awesome. That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
And more than that, more than doubled.
Yeah. And the thing too is that even if it doesn't double for you, but you met one person,
yeah, even just one,
who is now one of your best friends. And that that happened to me, and Daniel knows the story, and this has definitely happened to Daniel too. When I went to grad school in 2016, I went out to Erie, Pennsylvania, my first time as an adult attending with a separate Church of God organization, and I was with Kagwa down in the Meadville area, and I met those people, and they were absolutely lovely people. I said are absolutely lovely people. And from there, I met a lot of people in the Western Pennsylvania area, from a little bit in United and in Kagwa and a couple different areas, and then and a little bit in some Eastern Ohio region, and just all there and made some good friends. And it's just one of those things where
they became like family to you, though.
Yeah, so yeah, some of them became like family and others didn't, but like that's because I live 8 hours away from them and I don't see them on a regular basis. And but like establishing those connections definitely helps, because if you're traveling and you're not in the area, you now have somebody to go and talk to,
and it builds trust.
Yeah,
that's the thing I think we need to work on now in the Church of God, is that I think we need to rebuild trust, because especially our generation, we grew up in an environment that was post Worldwide Church of God split. So our parents and if you are several generations deep, your grandparents and great grandparents have previously existing relationships that cross groups. But if you're younger, you might not. And if you're younger, you've never probably met many people, and you need to establish that trust that you're coming from a place of love, that, you know, you need to get to know someone. And the walls come down fairly quickly once you get to know someone. And that's part of what we want to do with the podcast, sort of be an early stage in doing that for anyone who wants to listen. And also just sharing with you all the incredible people we've met over the last few years. And it's only been a couple of years of doing this, and yeah, we can't imagine what's going to come in the future and how many more inspiring people that we're going to come across, and people who help us grow, and whose knowledge and perspective we want to pass on to you. But it really is, we value so much different perspectives, the idea of disagreeing, but disagreeing in love, an atmosphere of healthy conflict. And really the interesting thing when I first started doing Church of God Network was that I think everyone's aware of the divisive issues in the Church of God, you know, issues of government form, some sort of doctrinal differences on the smaller level by and large, but you know, hurt feelings. There's a lot, right? We're in no way, shape, or form, or Steve and I saying that this is going to be an easy process. It's going to be a long process. It's going to be a difficult process.
Lifelong.
But, right, it's going to be a lifelong process, but it's a process we as a community have to start engaging in, because we're commanded to. Again, the bride has made herself ready, right? There's another interesting thing is there is no scriptural precedent for God wanting his people to wait on him to fix a problem they created. I can't find one. I gave a message on that recently. I don't see any precedent in scripture for God's people creating an issue like the one we're facing with disunity, mm-hmm, and God wanting his people to not do anything and just be like, no, don't worry, I'll fix it. That's not usually how that works. Usually he expects them to fix it, and when they don't, he'll send a warning to them, and then if they still don't, there's a corrective action. So all that being said, again, I think people think the main impediment to building community right now is the hurt feelings or the doctrinal differences or governmental form, and those definitely, yeah, like we said before, they play a part. But what I have found is the big, or at least one of the big impediments, and it's one no one really talks about, is that I don't think we need more information. I don't think either on the organization level or the membership level, I don't think the Church of God is cognizant of the fact that we might need help. We might need other perspectives. I think we largely think that we're okay as is, you know, in our particular, you know, smaller organization we belong to, you know, oh, well, this is self-sufficient. Why do we need input from someone else? Why do I need to go across organizational bounds and get new information?
Yeah, because obviously, I mean, we're not saying that people don't have growth, like in terms of people maybe some people do believe this, but I think in general, people do see that they need growth because people people still make mistakes. But in terms of in general, that other perspectives aren't needed because we know what to do. We just need to do it.
Right. We're not saying that people don't recognize the need for growth.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that it was surprising to learn that I think we have to first show people that there's a wealth of untapped potential and knowledge out there by going across groups. That the more we share with each other, the more we help each other, the more everyone grows together. You know, one of the thinkers that Steve and I love is Thomas Sowell. And one of the things he talks about is how the most advanced cultures were the ones that existed along trade routes. The ones who, by the simple fact that they were in a nexus of trade and the exchange of ideas and people from different countries with different knowledge bases and different innovations were crossing paths frequently, that those civilizations learned more, they advanced more, and they developed more. Yeah. And that same principle applies here. In a similar principle, actually, is one of the things I've been fascinated about is what YouTube has done to the level of virtuosity and expertise around the world. Because I forgot who mentioned it, but you know, back in the day, even just 1970, right? If you're a guitar player in 1970 and you want to get really good, you know, you need to find a great teacher. Or if you want to watch Andre Segovia play, or you want to watch Dwayne Allman play, you need to go to a show and pay and sit there and watch him. And maybe you can see the technique he's doing, maybe not, but you're not going to have a recorded version. Now, YouTube has put access to the elite minds and talents of the whole world in every field at our fingertips, so we can watch it whenever we want. And it has resulted in an explosion of ability, an explosion of talent in almost every field. And I would love to have a similar situation in the Church of God, where we are so cut off from each other. You know, we talk about the Thomas Sowell example. Mm-hmm. We're like a culture that is evolving with huge mountain ranges around us. We don't have any access to other cultures right now.
Yeah. The difference being that we intentionally have cut ourselves off from each other.
Yeah.
Because this is internally to the church, right? Like, we can say that we don't want to have too much influence or have any influence seep in from the world. But the idea of looking at what has worked in the world for a situation like this, where YouTube creates an explosion, is there that principle of access to information?
Yeah.
Can that help us? Because you also, when you look in areas in general, because one of the biggest things, even going back years, is the fields that did increase the best or increased significantly were fields that had a shared language. Like, you look at science, people in England would be able to communicate with people in Russia through the science. Like, they could see what they did and then build off that. If they just talked to them, they wouldn't be able to do that because they don't speak Russian or they don't speak English, right? That communication is separated, but because they had a common language and a common way of communicating.
Yeah, well, that's also where we want CGN to fit in just in general, right? So one of the inspirations for CGN in the beginning was the State Policy Network. I worked at a think tank for a number of years, and there's a think tank like the one I worked at pretty much every state in the union, several in certain states like, New York and Texas and Virginia. But one of the things that the State Policy Network did in its inception was, okay, for the think tanks that existed at the time, which is started in the 80s, let's work together. Let's make a community out of this. We're all working towards the same goals. We all want to accomplish largely the same things, right? We have our differences in approach. We want to accomplish the same things. Let's work together to do this better. Let's make it so that if a think tank in Wisconsin is doing a new initiative around labor policy, if New York has already done a similar thing, like, let's have them talk to each other so that they don't reinvent the wheel, so that they don't duplicate efforts, and they can learn what worked and what didn't when the think tank in Wisconsin tried it. And it's the same thing in the Church of God, that if we could create a mechanism where people across church organizations started communicating, whether on the logistical front, on the organizational level, or just getting to know each other on the membership level, that, I mean, look at all the areas. Like, so the logistics of running an organization, you know, audio-visual things, best practices around being a pastor, right? Imagine like a listserv for pastors, just to share information like, hey, I'm struggling with this issue. What have you done? What has worked? What hasn't? And then a membership level, I mean, spiritually, just talking to people what they've been studying. I've been struggling with this issue. I've been struggling with this family problem. What do you think? I mean, the more minds you have on an issue, the better.
Yeah.
And imagine if we tapped all the potential we had in the Church of God just by talking to each other and just by learning from one another. You know, we don't, like we said in the beginning, we don't have to work to shoehorn everyone into one organization again, because that particular thing is outside the power of one person or a group of people to do.
Yeah.
All we can do to take responsibility to work to better the situation is to do the little things in the current situation to build community while not causing further division.
Yeah, and that's going to take time. It's something to hammer home, just to make sure people understand that this is not something that, right, you're just going to walk into a congregation and everyone's going to be your best friend. Right, if you're attending with United and you go into a living congregation or vice versa, it's not going to be immediate. And this is something that takes time and takes effort. And for the people who have been doing it for years, or who have, maybe you've been continuing to keep in contact with friends from, you know, pre-1995, 93, 92, whenever the split happened, whenever you lost contact with somebody, or if it's somebody from school, if you went to Ambassador, or if it's somebody else in a local area, we applaud those people for continuing to do that, and we say, please continue to do that. And if you haven't reached out to somebody to do that, And so it's just something to make sure people, because I think we also tend to want things done quickly.
Yeah.
And so this is just to continue to meditate on the fact that this is going to take time.
Yeah, it's
going to take time.
It's going to take time and persistent effort, right? This is not a, it's not getting done in a year or two, let's just scrap it, right? This is Church of God Network is a recognition that we have essentially gone 25 to 30 years without a meaningful, concerted, deliberate, focused effort to build community and unity within the Church of God. Again, like an organized effort. There have been people, like Steve mentioned, who've been working towards it. But it's the recognition that we haven't had one and that we need one. And that for however long it takes, we'll be working at it. And I tell people when they come on to take on projects for us, if they're managing projects, or if they have an idea and they want to run with it, or if they're even just supporting us and they're really gung-ho, I'm like, that's great. We appreciate your support. Please continue. Love the energy. Just know that this is a long haul. This is like, we're in this not so that by next year we have fixed the problem, but that we're moving the needle little by little, day by day, month by month, year by year, and we're just gonna keep doing it until we die or Christ returns, whatever comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a statement that this is something we need to work on. Church of God Network is here to work towards this issue and this issue solely. And we hope that you all listening will participate in any way you can. I mean, you could be a part of it in a number of ways, obviously listening and thinking about the things that people bring to the podcast. We really do encourage people to visit other brethren in terms of, if you know people, as Steve said, you've lost contact with, reach out to them. But also we encourage visiting new Church of God organizations, and it doesn't have to be every week, right? You don't need to hop around to a new group every week, but you know, a couple times a year, right? There's nothing threatening about that. If you have obligations in your local congregation that you do the AV setup, or you lead songs, or you speak, you know, three or four, you know, even just once a year, two, three times a year on a day that you don't have responsibilities, visit a different local fellowship. get to know people. And before long, it doesn't take long before you have built real contacts and your own personal network has expanded.
Yeah, and that helps also to build opportunities for additional service.
Yeah.
In those areas, and to try to help as many people as you possibly can. I mean, Daniel's mentioned already a couple of those service projects through within your gates, and you should definitely check that out on churchofgodnetwork.org. And those are the kinds of things that, by expanding your network, you come into contact with those things, and you can use your gifts and the things that you do well, and maybe find out that you're really good at X, Y, or Z, and that you can help serve the brethren in that way, because that's also part of this whole mission, is to how can we better serve each other.
Yeah, one of the things that also we care about is just that even if someone doesn't get directly involved with Church of God Network, but if they're inspired to start something else on their own, right, like a service project or getting more involved in their local church and taking the lead on something, just if everyone tried to maximize their own abilities and find ways to serve, that's accomplishing the same thing, right? You might not directly be leading a project for Church of God Network, but you're contributing, you're adding value. And one of the other principles for Church of God Network is just that we want to meet as many people in the Church of God as possible. The people we bring in have that to lead projects, have that same attitude. And the more people we know, we then have access to those people's networks. And that's the whole thing, right? It's Church of God Network. We're trying to build a network of contacts so that when there's an issue in the Church of God, or we get wind of a problem, or there's an organization that wants some expertise, we can leverage way more of the Church of God's resources and expertise quickly than if we were not connected. Because if we're not connected, like, okay, well, some church location has a problem, how are we going to get resources to them, right? There's no way to. But
yeah,
the idea is to, through CGN, build the infrastructure for connection in a way that is meaningful and effective and sustainable. So again, like the ways to participate and contribute, we talk about visiting people, because, you know, getting to know people on the ground level is hugely important, forming those relationships, building that trust. We talked about listening to the podcast. We really encourage you to read the blogs on our blog section. There are a lot of different perspectives from a lot of different groups, and it's great. Please check out the congregation map and the resource center, especially the map, just seeing just how many of us there are in the world and how there are plenty. The likelihood is there are many more Church of God congregations in your area than you think, and that you're not alone. You're not as isolated as you think. And then lastly, in addition to your building awareness of the greater Church of God, to visiting people, prioritize this issue in your life in terms of praying about it, talking about it with others, you know, things we all can do to help build community. Change the language around the issue in the conversation. You know, a big pet peeve of mine is when I hear people talking about unity or speaking about it in a sermon, and then contextually you can tell, well, this is really about unity within this particular organization, right?
Yeah.
But if we can stop talking about issues that way and realize, no, unity is with, and community is about building it within the whole body of Christ, which is, yes, it's the organization we attend with, but it's also the dozens and dozens and, frankly, over 100 different Church of God 501c3 organizations that our responsibility is to build community and attain unity within and across all of those. That's an important change. It might seem small, this idea of changing how we talk about it and changing the language around it, but that's impactful. It does make an impression on people, and it does move the needle.
Yeah, it changes how people think about it.
Right.
Because the way that they're talking about it is how they're thinking about it. But if we can change the way that we talk about it, it changes people's thoughts on that.
Yep. So with that, please stay tuned. This is just the first episode. We're going to have more coming. Our goal is to have two podcast episodes released per month. Chances are I'm going to be hosting one of them. Steve's, I'm sure you're going to hear more from Steve in the coming months. The plan is to have two other individuals who are working with us host their own episode of the podcast once a month, where they're talking more about mental health issues, emotional intelligence, like I referenced before. And it'll probably stay between the two of them. They might bring a guest on occasion. The episode I host will largely be guest-driven questions, bringing on people from different walks of life and trying to talk about different issues in that way. But again, please stay tuned. We have some great people coming on. We're excited to do this. For those who I've spoken to about the coming podcast for a while, we are sorry it has been delayed. The goal was to get it out starting in January of 2021, but for a number of back-end logistical issues, we've had to postpone it a few months, but it is finally here. So welcome to it. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time.